Man, people crazy out these streets, bro. I've been grinding since I was like 15 with this music, bro. I've learned that I can't please everybody. And there's been a lot of love, but there's also been misunderstanding, hate, and this box they put me in. And it makes them uncomfortable if I'm not in it.
DJ KJ.
And I ain't in it.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to I Went Out. I'm Manny. And today is a continuation of our episode with Pastor T. So we're going to go ahead and just jump right into it. 2020. It's been some highs, been some lows. It's been just crazy. We are, it's been a major political season. A lot of racial tension. A lot of tension within the body of Christ. So I just, how are you feeling, Pastor T, on this year? Like, how has it been for you? How have you kind of like gone about this year personally?
Yeah. Well, I agree, man. At moments, quite honestly, I've just felt exhausted. You know what I'm saying? Especially with some of the race issues, you know, to see like history repeating itself like again and again, and it seems like we still really haven't made a whole lot of progress. And it seems like the church, the capital C church, hasn't really figured out how to talk about it or stand up for it. And now, even in 2020, as you know, some churches finally did begin to speak up about it for the first time and, you know, realize like, hey, we really got a problem. And some people, you know, started to say, yeah, Black Lives Matter. But then you kind of get lumped in with the Black Lives Matter organization and all the stuff that they believe. And they have a lot of other agendas, which I'm sure that you guys are aware of, and a lot of things that are anti-biblical and anti-Christian and anti-Christian worldview, right? So, like, absolutely, we believe that Black Lives Matter. And you can make a differentiation of saying, like, I believe that statement and that's true because we're all made in the Imago Dei, the image of God. But there's a lot of our brothers and sisters that are darker skinned and they're not being treated the same way. And so we got to speak up and stand up for them. Jesus and justice go together. And so just because you might make some comments like that or say that Black Lives Matter, it doesn't mean that you agree with all the stuff that that movement is about. And so I think that's been a confusing, polarizing thing because, like you guys even said earlier before we started recording, even if you start to talk about those things in some Christian circles, they're going to say, oh, you're this, you're that, and you as all this stuff that you're not. Or they'll say, well, that's a slippery slope because if you support that Black Lives Matter and you stand up for racial justice, then you're going to have to stand up for the transgender community and this and that and all that, you know. And it's like they act like we can't put a line in the sand of like, this is biblical justice.
Amen.
These lifestyles are not biblical. So we're not going to stand up for those things. And like, you can absolutely separate the two. So what I've been passionate about is trying to help the church find its biblical voice with justice and with race. Hmm. I mean, there's stuff that's all through there. I know we don't usually get taught about it in white seminary and white Bible colleges. Let me be real. It's not in a lot of, you know, Christian books that are out there. But if you just simply read the Gospels, if you simply look at a lot of the New Testament, the Bible as a whole, God is for justice. Jesus stood up for people that were marginalized, that were forgotten. He stood up for the Samaritans. They were a different ethnic group that everybody hated. And he retitled their entire narrative. They weren't the despised Samaritans. He now renamed them as the Good Samaritans. That's what everybody knows them at. They were not considered good back in his time. Everybody hated them, right? So, like, we just simply have to look at what Jesus did. If we model that, and Jesus says things like, love our neighbor as we love ourselves, a lot of our neighbors look different than us. A lot of our neighbors are being treated different than us. Yeah. So we got to step up for them. We got to want them to have the same privilege that we have, whether that's white privilege or economic privilege or family privilege, because all of us have some different privilege. I mean, we live in America. Yeah. We have privilege compared to the rest of the world. And many times, you know, where it says in the scripture, where much is given, much is required. Mm. And so we have these platforms and these privileges, man, we got to speak up for those that might be getting treated wrong. Mm. And so I think the church still has to find its voice with that. I mean, I think there's many people in the church that are doing a good job.
Yeah.
But again, it's been such a polarized political season. And as we're recording this, we're right before the election. So by the time you probably hear this, whatever has happened has already happened. I don't know if the box might open up next week. But it's a tense time. And it's probably going to get a little worse after the election before it gets better.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be a great time that the body of Christ can rise up. There's potential for us to rise up as reconcilers and as hope pushers and pushing people towards Jesus. Amen. So that's what I've been passionate about. And we've been talking about it at Crossover for many years. I shared this a little bit ago with you guys. I just created a course, an online course called Race, Justice, and the Church, how your church can speak into these divided times. And that just released a few days ago, and I released it for absolutely free. And so there's several helpful video sessions. I've been leading a multi-ethnic church for over two decades in a multi-ethnic city. We've been speaking into this. We've been preaching on it. We've been praying over these things. We've been active in our community to help with a lot of different things as well. And so you can get that course for absolutely free. There's my dog in the background. That's my pandemic puppy right there. So you can get the course for free if you go to translationleadership.com. And, you know, we keep it, you know, hip hop. So it's translation with a Z, translationleadership.com. And it's called Race, Justice, and the Church. And so, yeah, I encourage you guys to go and check it out. So you typing it in right now?
There we are, yeah.
Yep, typing it in right now.
So let me tell you about it real quick. There's five video sessions on there. One of the video sessions is with my executive pastor. So I talk about listening, learning, and lamenting. I talk about using your voice. One of the sessions is about action steps. And then my executive pastor, Christopher Harris, is on there with me. And then I have a conversation with Montel Jordan, the guy who sang the hit song, This Is How We Do It. Didn't know how he does it now. He's been a pastor for many years and at a multi-ethnic church. And he's speaks into this and very passionate about these issues. So I have a conversation with him. And then I also was a keynote speaker for Exponential. They did this event this fall called Roundtables, and it was speaking about justice and race. And they had me do a keynote on the title was Systemic Bias Favors Whiteness.
Mm.
Oh, wow. So, interesting talk. So that's on there as well. Go to translationleadership.com, and that's a gift from me.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll make sure we link that in our description on this episode.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, so how has, as a multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-generational and class church, how has 2020 really kind of impacted the people in your congregation? And how have you had to navigate some conflicts? And how have you, like, anything like that in Crossover that you've had to navigate through?
Yeah, for the most part, man, we have not had to deal with a lot of major issues.
Amen.
Our church has really stayed unified. I'm really proud of our people, man. I've had a few conversations with a few people, but none of it has been like off the rails.
Yeah.
Like I haven't had like a bunch of Trump supporters fighting against the Biden people in my church. I haven't had that, and a lot of pastors have.
Yeah.
You know, I think as a whole, a lot of people in my church don't lean on politics too much as answers. I mean, we believe that voting's important, but I think a lot of my people have a good grips of like, we know that's not going to solve all the problems.
Amen.
You know, and a lot of the local people that we vote for are even more important than who's, you know, in the White House or in some of the national positions. And so we've been pretty good with that. I'd say navigating the pandemic has maybe even been a little bit more challenging in the sense of, you know, some people are very fearful and very sensitive towards it. And others are, you know, more like, yeah, you know, it's all good. Like, we're going to be all right. I haven't had people in my church necessarily that are like, don't wear a mask. This is all hope. I haven't had those people. but it's still just navigating, trying to lead my people through the fear.
Yeah.
Because I do personally believe, yes, COVID is real. The pandemic is real. But a lot of it has been over sensationalized by the media. And there's been a lot of manipulation because it is an election year. Yeah. I think I know the numbers have been manipulated big time. The amount of cases, the amount of deaths, all those things. And I know when you begin to say some of that stuff, some people are like, and it's like, man, just read between the lines of what's happening. Yeah. You know, I even had my doctor, you know, tell me like, hey, you know, I have so many patients that went to get tested and they signed up, but the lines were so long that they left and they got positive results back next week and they never even got tested. You know, I tested positive and I never had any symptoms at all. So they told me I was asymptomatic, but I went to go get blood work to see if I had the antibodies and I didn't. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, you never got it. And I'm like, so what's going on here? Yeah. You know, doctor also told me, you know, said, hey, I had a patient that died of a heart attack and the hospital was calling me to sign off on a COVID death. And I told them, no, my patient was tested for COVID a few days before they died. They were negative and they went straight. They were just at home. And the hospital was like, well, we think they had COVID symptoms. And she was like, well, what are you talking about? I have the paperwork here. It says they were dead on arrival. How do you know they had COVID symptoms? Mm. You know, so if you didn't know, hospitals get $3,900 every time someone's listed as a COVID death.
Yeah.
So there's money involved. There's yeah. testing stuff. There's, you know, the politics that's all in it. There's, you know, it's absolutely real, but there's been a lot of manipulation and fear pumped into us.
Yeah.
And the media makes money off of our fear.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And yeah. so I think as Christians, like, we got to be woke to that. And we can't fall for the propaganda yeah. and we have to find ways to, you know, navigate that and teach our people that. Now, granted, I understand there's some people that have, you know, bad immune systems or they're in an at-risk category or pre-existing conditions. And so they don't feel comfortable coming back to church. Or they want to mostly stay at home. I get it. I totally get that. On the flip side, you have some young people that are totally healthy and they're just terrified. And they don't really have any conditions or anyone that they're around that has conditions. So those are kind of the things that I see that's like, man, this has been challenging because sometimes you just want to take people and be like, what's wrong with you? But at the time, like, I'm not here to try to convince you about all of that stuff. I'm here to preach the gospel. Amen. And all of that stuff is going to be gone. Probably in another 6 months or a year, whenever it's gone, I don't know.
Yeah.
But eventually it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I don't want to lose credibility with people. You have to navigate that
yeah.
because some people, if you say the wrong thing, we're in this cancel culture now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, Pastor T said this and like, I don't know. Like he must be, and then they'll categorize you. He must be a Trump supporter. Or he must be
watching
the right. channel. I'm not, you know, I'm just looking at the raw numbers on the county website. I'm yeah, not watching right. the news. I'm watching the real
yeah.
numbers and seeing what the real trends are. And so that's been a challenging thing, I think, to navigate because a lot of people genuinely, especially in the urban community, are scared. Yeah. You know, they're scared. And granted, I understand people of color have been impacted more by COVID statistically, but you also have to keep in mind that a lot of that deals with a lot of people in the urban community. They don't have proper health care.
Yeah,
right. A lot of them don't go to the doctor. A lot of them have lots of pre-existing conditions. And so a lot of them are overweight and they got diabetes and they're kind of just, you know, anytime they get the flu or whatever, they get a cold, it's a lot more complicated for them.
Yeah.
So, and then they don't have the money maybe to get the proper care. So obviously, you know, those are a lot of the complications of what we see happening in the urban community. And so it's been a challenging year as you know, my church is very diverse. It's about 80% minority. So wow. we've been extra cautious, you know, we've been extra cautious. We want to keep everybody safe, but at the same time, we also want to, you know, make people comfortable when they come back.
Amen.
So we spaced out all the chairs. we're making people wear masks. We're sanitizing in between the services. We're going above and beyond. And we just opened up a couple of weeks ago. So, but thus far, it's going really well. It's going really well. God is moving. It's a new normal. It's different. It's going to be like this for a while. But churches that are not adapting and innovating, you know, you're going to decline. Yeah. And so you have to continue to innovate and find creative ways. And not everybody's coming back, and that's okay. We're not making anybody feel bad. We're continuing to stream and do that in excellence and talk to that crowd and that audience and say, hey, we love y'all. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. Even when I preach, I'm having them type stuff in the chat, just like I did when everybody was in the chat.
Yeah.
You know, so we haven't changed because if you don't include those that are online, if you don't include them, you'll lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're definitely continuing to include them and try to build community. And we're about to do another session of virtual groups for all those that didn't come back in person for community. Those people are still, they need community. They're starving for community. So we're in this season now where we have a hybrid church. All of us, you know, if you've come back in person, you've still got an online campus that maybe you never had before or wasn't as big before. And you've got to realize just because you're back in person, you still got this other crowd that for most churches is probably bigger. The average church in America that's reopened is only seeing about 30% that have come back. So that means most people are still online. Even some churches that have done better, like us, we have about 50% or a little more that have come back from our pre-COVID attendance. We still have a number of people that haven't come back. And even pre-COVID, we had a couple thousand people that watched online that didn't come anyways. So even before COVID, our numbers of online were bigger than what we had coming in the house. So now it's even, you know, more lopsided.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that online crowd, although we can't physically see them in the crowd, they're much bigger than those that we can see in the crowd.
Right.
So I think, you know, we have to think about as pastors and church planners and leaders, we have to reallocate a lot of our time and our energy and even our finances to also include that crowd that's virtual and be creative and not lose the innovation that we've created over the past, you know, X amount of months now that we might be back in the building if your church has done that.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's my 2 cents on 2020. I don't know. What else? What else?
Yeah. So I know one question that we like to ask pastors that we've had on, and I think this is going to be the first time we get it from a perspective of you being a white pastor of a church.
That is,
yeah, I think you're white. Are you? I think so.
I'm Greek, Spanish, and Finnish. So yeah, people are like, you know, what are you? You Puerto Rican? You know, I get Middle Eastern a lot too when I
travel.
So I do have a TSA pre-check that's helped me to stop getting frisked at the airport. But you know, in some circles I'm white, some circles I'm Hispanic, some circles I'm Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Some circles I'm like, what are you? You know. But yeah, so I kind of have a unique perspective. But go ahead, bro.
Amen,
I'm just playing.
I feel you, man. Yeah. But no, yeah, one of the things that we like to ask is just, you know, in this climate of injustice and racial tension and stuff, how do you think, because there's a lot of churches that are doing it wrong, there's a lot of churches that are doing it right, and it sounds like your church has been doing it right, but how do you think that churches can really build a sustainable culture that addresses these issues and makes it not just like something that when another death happens and it's filmed and it's put out there on social media and then all of a sudden everybody's talking about it? How do we make this sustainable where it's a constant conversation, where it's like embedded in your culture and it's something that as Christians, we automatically should know how to deal with these things? How do you do that with your church? And how do you think that other churches should approach it?
Yeah, I think it all goes back to the word, and it's something that you got to regularly teach and preach about.
Mm.
And justice is in the word. And I think for a lot of churches, they haven't really looked at it in some, you know, looked at it like that. Some will even go to the extreme of saying, oh, you're preaching about justice and social justice. That's another gospel. No, that's not another gospel. That's included in the gospel, right? And so I think that you need to intentionally be preaching about it, talking about it. It doesn't need to be something you talk about every single week. But as you create your preaching calendars, for those of you that are pastors or leaders at your church, I would challenge you guys to include some sermons and some messages and include some small group options, include some times where there can be opportunities for your people in your church to express things like that, maybe in a town hall or a Zoom meeting or some kind of virtual thing. and do those things on a regular basis and put them on your calendar, whether something's happening or not. So then when something does happen, because it is, it's in the scripture. Justice is in the scripture. God is a God of justice. He wants, what is justice? Justice is just treatment of everyone. And so love your neighbor as you love yourself. You should want to have just treatment for your neighbor, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you should care about your neighbor. You should care about, you know, education and economics and the opportunities they have and they don't have based on, you know, even the color of their skin or what neighborhood they're in or what school they go to. The church can make a difference in those things. The church can stand up and help and so many things that we can do. But so what I was going to say is, so if you're regularly putting that on your calendar, you're talking about those things in the mix of a biblically balanced diet of all the things you're going to preach on and talk about throughout a year, then when issues come up and you pray about them or you talk about them, you guys have credibility. And you're like, oh, well, remember we did that series 6 months ago, or last year we did that forum, or, you know, or we had a couple small groups. And so it's not like, you know, you have people in your church that are like, oh, now you're talking about it because it's trending. Uh-huh. Or, you know, you've had people all along in your church that might be about that stuff, which, by the way, millennials and people under 40, this kind of stuff is very important to them. So if your church is not saying anything about it, they're sitting there like this.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, Joe, yeah. You know, and so there's people attending my church now from other cities during the pandemic that have left their local churches. They're like, no, we're having a crossover now. We can't go to our church anyways. And our church never says anything about justice. And you guys do. And we brought it up to them multiple times. And we feel like they kind of just brush it under the rug and kind of brush us off. And we just said, no, we can't continue to support our church anymore. And yeah. So we're going to come to your church now. And these are people that live in other cities, like 2,000 miles away.
Wow.
You know, I had a couple that was in my small group, you know, and they were from a different city, you know, and because of that actual issue of race and justice. So if you're not talking about this at your church and then you're like, I don't understand why we can't reach any millennials. I'm not saying this is the only problem, but this is one of the problems is you don't understand some of the things that are important to millennials.
Yeah.
And it's not like, well, I don't want to preach to just what's important. No, it's important to God because it is in the scripture. So when you talk about these things, then when stuff comes up, people can feel like, yes, we've been talking about this. We're about this. This is great. And so I think that's super important. So I'd encourage pastors out there, like preach and teach about it. Create opportunities for people to have conversations about it in different creative ways. I talk about that in my course. So, yeah, so that'll give you some more action steps if you want to get a little bit more in depth of what we've done at Crossover.
Amen.
Amen.
I love how you brought up the whole millennial thing because as a millennial, I've been, I was at a, I'm not going to, I want to throw them out under the bus like this, but I was at a, I was helping out volunteering somewhere and this one pastor was just talking about how these dang millennials, all they want is the worship music and the bright lights and the smoke and this and that. And they don't really care about the truth. I'm like, bro, first of all, don't just lump us in like that. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm a millennial. You're going to talk to me like, he's a weird pastor. I was like, and? Like, I can't be a millennial and a pastor? Like, hold up, man. And it was like, when's the last time you talked to the millennials in your church? And he couldn't answer me. I was like, don't just assume because you have this idea of what a millennial is. That they want the truth. Like honestly, like you're the one. Like I told him, I was like, are you the one just spoon feeding this worship because that's what you think people want, or yeah. Are you actually genuinely asking people, like your millennials, are you gauging? I mean, this goes to the multi ethnic conversation too. Like, are you having conversations with people who don't look like you? Don't just assume. Like it's time to step down off your platform and get to know your people. Get to know what's true, what their hearts truly break for, what they're passionate about. Don't just assume. So when you said that, I was like, that's a trigger. I was like, yeah. As a pastor, I got a little too passionate that day. I was like, man, they're never going to let me serve here again. So like, amen.
All right, Pastor T, you have any final words that you want to drop? You want to give everybody your social media info?
Sure. Well, you can check me out at UrbanD 813. So it rhymes, UrbanD 813. That's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Translation Leadership with a Z. That's where you can find some of the resources that I produce for leaders and churches. And I have a coaching network I do as well called the Innovative Pastors Network. And there's some information on there about it in the course that we talked about that's free, Race, Justice in the Church. That's on translationleadership.com as well. And then if you want to check out some stuff with Crossover Church as well, our website is crossoverchurch.org. And it's Crossover 813. 813 is our area code. So Amen. Urban B 813, Crossover Church, or Crossover 813.
Amen.
Yeah, but thank you guys for having me on, man. Great conversation. Man, great stuff. What y'all are doing, man. Praying for you guys and the church plant coming up.
Amen. Thank you, man. You. Well, we appreciate
you. A lot of wisdom, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed the episodes. Just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Leave a rating and or review. That's helpful to us, but it also helps you guys so that you don't miss out on any content when it drops. All right, we'll talk to you guys on Monday.
See you.
Peace.